This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. Today is the 14th of October. I am James Seif and I'm joined by Isabel Hardman. Isabel, what the government wants us to be talking about today is its push to get GPs back to face-to-face appointments. You're currently writing a biography on the NHS. How important is it that GPs see patients face-to-face? And what does this say about the relationship between GPs and the government? We've had Sajid Javid pull out at very late notice from speaking to the GPs conference this morning. Are we heading back to a kind of Thatcher-era situation of tensions between the government and doctors? Or think of Jeremy Hunt and the junior doctors' strike, or Andrew Lansley and NHS professionals turning against his proposed reforms. Are we in for that kind of spat over the winter? Or is this all more of a storm in a teacup?
I think that the way that doctors' bodies are responding to these latest instructions from Sajid Javid and from the sort of noises that the government has been making for quite a while about face-to-face consultations suggests that they are up for a fight, and they are very offended and hurt, I think, by some of the claims that are being made by the government. It's always the case that doctors do not like being told what they should be doing by politicians, because they see politicians as being unqualified and generally sort of using the NHS as a political football rather than serious about patient care. Now, obviously, they've often rebelled against things that they've turned out to then cherish in later years in the NHS, including the creation of the NHS itself. But this war of words at the moment is around face-to-face appointments, and there's a sort of carrot and stick approach here. GPs in England are getting, I think it's £250 million to improve their services, but only if they increase the number of patients being seen face-to-face. So they'll obviously be penalised if they don't increase those face-to-face consultations. And this is something that if you talk to any MP, they will say that a lot of their constituents are very cross that they are being triaged or refused a face-to-face appointment when they feel that they deserve to see their GP in person for a condition. GPs push back, saying that actually they've been seeing a lot of patients, they're trying to keep people safe by not packing out their waiting rooms, and anyone who's, you know, sat in a doctor's waiting room for a long time is aware that even pre-COVID, they're not particularly pleasant places to be in the winter, with lots of people coughing and spluttering all over the place. And so GPs have also pointed out that actually prior to this, the government was pushing for more telephone and online consultations, something that Matt Hancock was very keen on. If you talk to Jeremy Hunt, former health secretary, about this, he says that there was a debate about it long ago where doctors were saying, no, this won't work at all, it'll damage our patient relationships. Obviously, COVID has thrown everything up like a snow globe, and the debate is now facing completely the opposite way. But it's something that politicians want to get on top of because they see that it's upsetting their constituents, rightly or not. And it's something that GPs and the wider doctor community are very upset about, because they feel it's a slap in the face after a very difficult 2 years for them in their workplace. They feel as though their professional pride is being insulted in the way actually that Jeremy Hunt managed to insult the junior doctors when he was renegotiating their contract. So he had a line back then when he talked about, and I think this was actually for the consultants contract, but it became part of the junior doctors dispute, where he talked about a sense of vocation and professionalism being brought back into the contract. And he says that he had a completely different intention for those words, but doctors took it as being a suggestion that they were just sort of lolling around and they didn't take their job seriously and they weren't approaching them as a vocation. In this instance, GPs feel that the government is suggesting that they've been sitting around or even playing golf rather than seeing people in their surgeries during the pandemic, and they've had a jolly nice relaxing time. And it's that sort of thing that sets doctors off like nothing else when it's suggested that they don't work hard. That is the kind of thing that will lead to a dispute that can go on for years, as Jeremy Hunt will, you know, give you chapter and verse on if you ask him. And he is, as you know, chair of the Health Select Committee now, is still trying to repair his relations with doctors after that dispute. And that was, you know, that was 4 or 5 years ago now.
And do you think Chris Whitty was having a subtle shot at politicians when he told the Royal College of GPs this morning, never worry about criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably, again, something that harks back over many decades of tensions within the NHS and between doctors and politicians. And actually, within the NHS, there's always been tensions about the calibre of management as doctors see it. So there's, you know, a long-running sense that people are brought in from outside who don't understand what it is to be a doctor. So I think there's a sort of culture there amongst medics. But I wonder, James, what you think ministers are trying to achieve through this? Because if GPs are seeing more people than they used to, or talking to more people than they used to, and if, you know, as governments previously have been trying to push for flexibility from GPs so that people who are at work are still able to call up a doctor with their concerns, why is Sajid Javid going so big on this, do you think?
I think there are two reasons why they are going so big on it. The high-minded reason is the belief that certain things get missed if you're not seeing people face-to-face, and also that lots of people have not presented. You know, they are, Sajid Javid is very driven by the fact that, you know, the number of cancer diagnoses are down, which sounds like good news. He thinks they're down because not enough people are presenting. And I think he worries that lots of people have, you know, gone through telephone appointments with their GPs and they need to be seen in person. That's the high-minded reason. The cynical reason, I think, is that they are desperate to show people that the NHS is getting back to normal post-COVID, that the extra money that has been put into the health service is delivering something. And they think that these telephone appointments have become seen as a symbol that you're not getting the kind of service from the health service that you would like to get. I mean, that is the reason why they are leaning into this fight, and, you know, and are on that second point. You know, it is worth noting that, you know, that this is something that newspapers are exercised about. Now, when newspapers are exercised about things, people often think, oh, it's the power of the newspapers. It's more that newspapers are reflecting back something that they are picking up in their post bag from their readers a lot. And I think this is, you know, you were talking about, you know, the Village Facebook group, all the like, when we were discussing the subject earlier. You know, this is certainly seen by the public as, you know, a telephone appointment is definitely seen by the public as second best to seeing your GP face to face.
It's an interesting thing about the relationship between people and their GPs, because politicians themselves and lots of other people often feel that the NHS is articulated in the way that people feel about their GPs. And so I think it is going to be interesting in the future how people feel about the NHS if they're not seeing their GP, and if they're also face-to-face, and if they're also on a very long waiting list for elective treatment for something. You know, we've heard some stories recently of people who are waiting in absolute agony for hip replacements, for instance. And I just wonder, looking back to the Blair years, where there was actually an anxiety that public support for the NHS was dwindling, not for the concept of the NHS, but for actually accessing it, because so many people were saying, well, I'm going to have to go private because this is just appalling, having to wait for so long. Whether we end up in a situation where actually people feel more disengaged from the health service than they have for a very long time. Just moving on to another noisy row that seems to have been going on forever, Brexit. And Lord Frost this week presented his plans to rip up the Northern Ireland Protocol. And then yesterday we had the European Commission's proposals for tweaking it to try to make things better. James, just explain to listeners what those proposals were and whether they are going to be something that the British government is going to entertain at all.
So, Maroš Šefčovič, I think he was trying to have a very good bedside manner last night when he presented these proposals, trying to say, look, we want to try and make this protocol work. He said that he was offering something that would take away 80% of the checks. Now, that's 80% of the checks if the protocol was implemented in full, which it's not being at the moment. And I think you definitely see some EU flexibility there, but the UK and the EU sides are not in the same place yet. My read is that there'll be a meeting between Šefčovič and Frost on Friday. My read is that there is easily enough here for the two sides to have a negotiation. I don't think there is yet enough there to be confident which way, which way the negotiation will end, whether it end successfully or unsuccessfully. And I think one of the other things that is striking about this is the EU proposals are, they came out with a big kind of top-line offer, which they briefed out quite hard. I think that there is the detail of how those proposals will work has been left, I think, deliberately vague. So I think there is definitely where you can see a negotiation, but you also can see a kind of, you can also see that the other question is, the EU has moved quite far here. That is correct. And I think the question is, some on the EU side suggests that they wouldn't be able to move as far if they started again today, because various relations, notably the UK-French relationship, have worsened so considerably. And so I think there is a question of how much further can the EU go, considering where the UK government wants to go. And also, I think that, some of the noises of, Dominic Cummings suggesting that, the UK never intended to honour the protocol. That is making these negotiations more difficult. There's a very interesting piece by Pat Leahy in the Irish Times this morning suggesting that Dublin is very pessimistic about the prospects for a negotiated solution.
Well, thank you, James. Thank you to me. And thank you for listening.